All right. Some of my friends and I, we was talking about how we didn't have an accurate view of nursing before we started. And, you know, my friends are just like me, paramedic turned RNs, and we kind of moved around to different areas before we found our fit. So I decided I would just wanted to kind of take a little time to talk about the different areas that I've worked in and what that looked like so maybe you could find your fit. And for me, I have experience ED step down, critical care, surgical services, endoscopy, care coordination slash case management. So I just wanted to kind of share with you what the workflow environment with the hours and some positive and negatives, especially from being a paramedic, the positive negatives of that area. So welcome to my podcast. So this is the last section I wanted to talk about, and this is where I currently work now. I wanted to talk about care coordination and case management. And these are kind of a mystery to nurses because these areas are a little harder to get into because, you know, a lot of nurses tend to get into these areas and they tend to stay. So it has a really good work-life balance, and it's not a burnout area. It's an area that you can transition to other areas like utilization management and even with care coordination and case management, you can kind of work inpatient as well as outpatient. And like I said, you can have some really good work-life balance. I've known some care coordinators and case managers that work from home. And so I just want to kind of tell you that some systems, this role is split. And some is combined. When I first got into it, I actually got into it as a what's called a care manager or a care coordinator. And the nurses did the care coordinating where the social workers did the case management. And I explained to you what case management is. But typically to get into these roles, you need to have a bachelor's, you need to have your BSN, and also you need to have a good 2 to 4 years of nursing. And it really depends on where you got that experience at too, because that can count, especially when it comes to care coordinating. And really, to be honest with you, if you've been kind of roundabout like I have, like on different units, it kind of makes you a more marketable candidate because you kind of already know from a nursing aspect of that patient care and what it looks like on the floor. So the As I talk about these care coordination and case management, wanted to tell you that the mission is still the same, and which is to provide a safe discharge for patients, but also move the patient to the next level of care. So what happens is on the back end that as a paramedic you don't see is that after the patient is medically stable, what is next in their recovery? Sometimes it can be inpatient rehab, short-term rehab at a nursing facility. It can be home health with therapy. It can be home, or it can be home with or without medical equipment, like a rolling walker or a bedside commode, or it can be a hospital-to-hospital transfer because it may be something that your hospital doesn't do. You need to get that patient out. So case management itself, that's the care coordinating. Case management itself addresses what's called social determinants of health. We call it SDOH. And what this is really social determinants of health are things that tend to affect your readmission rate that's not necessarily tied to medical per se. For example, a patient's finances, transportation, food, housing, and employment affects their readmission rates. And you don't believe me? If a person doesn't have money, how can they get their medications at discharge? If they have no job, how can they have insurance, which means they don't have finances, which means they can't get their medications? So we tend to think sometimes that patients are being non-compliant with their medications. Oh, we tend to say, I remember as a paramedic saying, hey, this person's just non-compliant with his medications. It ain't that he doesn't want to take his medications. Maybe he's embarrassed to tell you he don't have the money to buy those medications because some medications are expensive, especially things like Entresto or insulin. Those medications can run a lot of money, and sometimes they just don't have the money to purchase it. Or if they don't have a car to get around, if they don't have transportation, how can they maintain appointments? For example, follow-up appointments or their primary care appointment or even transportation to have a job, to have insurance, to have a primary care. Or if they don't have food, they have poor nutrition. Poor nutrition, it kind of go hands in hands with poor healing. You need protein to help heal. Well, if you don't have adequate protein intake or adequate nutrition, you can't heal. And we all know the housing. If you're homeless, you have a really high risk of infection. So those what we call social determinants of health, and that's typically what case management kind of comes in and address. And case managers are normally social workers, but as nurses, we're kind of filtered into these roles too. And what we do is we give them access to resources to help address those social determinants of health. So in one way, we're providing a safe discharge. And in another hand, we're kind of helping assist with those social determinants of health issues to keep them from being readmitted. So now that I shared with you what that role is, I want to kind of talk to you about the workflow. The workflow is pretty fast paced. I have a caseload. Usually is one hospital I had was 40 patients, which was insane. The hospital that I'm with now, my caseload is anywhere between, it can be anywhere between 17 to 21, but it's still fast paced because we have dual roles. My role is of a care coordinator and as a case manager. So I kind of take on both aspects. So I'm setting up services like home health, you know, home infusion, SNF placements, setting up New Star hemodialysis. I'm also setting up transfers, whether if it's transfer home, BLS or ALS, or even critical care transport. There's lots of meetings that I attend during the day, whether if it's unit-based meetings with maybe with the nursing manager or maybe with the nurses themselves, or complex care meetings or multidisciplinary rounds where we all talk. I have a multidisciplinary round meeting on the units that I'm serving. Those come with the nurses come in, give a report. I talk with the charge nurse, with therapy, and that can be speech language, that can be physical or occupational therapy, with the provider themselves. It can be dietitian and pharmacy attends these meetings. And we also have complex care meetings. If I have a patient, for example, I've had a gentleman who was blind, on a New Star hemodialysis, and undocumented. You know, that's a very complex case. So sometimes we get together with administration and we talk about how to best handle those patients. So the environment is pretty autonomous, is very self-paced and self-managed. So I kind of work under how do you say that? You know, professional courtesy. My team consists of nurses like myself, but also licensed clinical social workers. We kind of do the same job. My hours are Monday through Friday, 8 hours. And for me, you know, I kind of like that because, you know, if I need to be off or take some time off, I can. Or if I'm coming in late, then I can just let my manager know, hey, I might be coming in late today. But usually, you know, I stay a little later to make that. It's salary based. It's not hourly based. So what are some of the positives and the negatives? Well, I think for this role, the positives can be the negatives. And I explain to you. My job is total patient. It's no patient care. It's total admin. So I don't do patient care. And that can be good and bad because, number one, you can kind of lose your skills. But two, what if you're tired of patient care? You just want to do something admin. That can be a good thing. Well, for some people, that can be a really bad thing. Also, it's office-based, which can be good or bad, which means it's office. So I wear business casual clothes. And when I'm in front of the patient, I wear white coat, just like administration, physicians, the same thing. Sometimes I can get mistaken for a physician. I have to tell them, no, I'm a nurse. But that can be a good and bad, because maybe you like to wear scrubs, because to me, scrubs are more comfortable. My last job as a care coordinator, I had the option to wear scrubs, but I still wore my white coat facing the patient. This system that I'm with, I have to wear business casual. I don't have the option to wear scrubs. But also, I'm on the unit for meetings. So, like I said, maybe you don't like the office environment. Maybe you prefer to be, you know, patient facing all the time. But one thing I can tell you is that I think one of the negatives is if both roles are combined, like the role I'm in now, the learning curve for the social determinants of health, social worker part can be a bit long, because you have to know things like about insurance. What does Medicaid covers? What does Medicare Part A and B covers? What the Medicare Part D covers, and commercial insurances, and which insurances are not so good? What does managed Medicaid or managed Medicare, what's the difference between traditional Medicaid and traditional Medicare? A lot of social workers know that. For me, I have no freaking clue. And so I have to know that when I'm ordering certain equipment, because, for example, if someone has Medicare, chances are them getting a rolling walker and a bedside commode together will probably not be approved. But a commercial plan would may approve both of those. It's kind of weird, but that's just one of those things. And also, your paramedic knowledge don't really help you in this role. I'll be honest with you. Maybe it does if you're used to maybe doing something like crisis management. Maybe you're familiar with maybe certain resources in the community for certain patients. Like, for example, the homeless patients, you know certain places they could go for shelter or to eat and food banks. You know, that's the only reason. But your RN knowledge is big here, because you can anticipate discharge dates. Not only that, with both, you kind of understand medically what's going on with the patient, but it comes in good detail when you're able to communicate with your providers. I know when I have a conversation with my doctors, they all know that I have a really in-depth medical knowledge. So we can have a discussion about the course of treatment for this patient, what's expected. I'm able to think of alternative courses where this patient may need to go. And you're able to have a good, healthy discussion about it. That's one of the reasons why for new grads, definitely it's not going to be up your line, unless maybe you come from a social work background and you find a strictly case management job. So hopefully I just kind of shared with you some good in-depth information if this is the course that you want to go. I will tell you, if you want to eventually become a care coordinator or a case management, I will tell you to go to the floor for a couple of years so you can see the floor. You can see the flow. You can see when therapy comes in, what therapy does, participate in the interdisciplinary rounds. Or if you and kind of pay attention to what's being said and how care coordinators and how case management move and operate, and also ask the shadow. So that's my advice to you. Thank you for joining. And that concluded this part of the series. And I hope you got something out of it. And I'll see you over the top. Bye. As always, hey, make sure you guys follow me on Instagram at paramedic2RNinfo. Remember the number 2.